This morning we will meditate upon Psalm 128, which we sang just now. Psalm 128 is about the blessedness of the godly household. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And in the New Testament, we will read the well-known verses from Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. This is the word of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let us pray. Eternal Father, who has spoken in various times and in various ways to your people in the past, but in these last days, in your Son, the incarnate Word, we pray that you will open the mouth of your servant to proclaim the Word in the power of the Spirit. And we pray that this same Spirit will open the hearts of his hearers here assembled to receive your holy gospel and write on their hearts your holy law, even as you have promised. All of this, gracious Father, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, who with the Father and the Spirit together is worshipped and glorified, one God in three persons. Amen. Dear people of God, today, of course, it's now a Monday morning, early Monday morning in the Philippines. But in their Sunday, July 27th, there is a so-called non-working holiday. And this non-working holiday is to commemorate the 100 years of the church called Iglesia Ni Cristo, which literally means Church of Christ. The Iglesia Ni Cristo is a cult, and it is an Arian cult. If you know your church history, Arius, priest or the pastor in Alexandria in Egypt, taught that Christ was not eternal. He was not co-equal or co-eternal with the Father. He was the first created being. And because of this, he became God. He was not eternal God, but he became God, or he was made God by God the Father. And so this cult has millions and millions of members, not only in the Philippines, but around the world. They boast that they have churches in over 100 countries in the world where there are an abundance of Filipinos living in those places. But how do we shield and how do we protect ourselves and our children from heresies like this? And so just before I left the Philippines, our elders requested me to preach a series on raising and strengthening a godly household. And so I call this a little church in the house. And this is based on a sermon by Matthew Henry in 1704. Matthew Henry was a Presbyterian minister. Why is this important? In our society and in most parts of the world where there are many evangelicals, a big problem is raising godly covenant children in the home. But even in the churches, this is also a big problem. Recent statistics show that between 60 to 80% of young adults raised in Christian homes and churches in the States, in the U.S., leave the church and even forsake their faith beginning in their college years. And so why is this happening? One of the main reasons is that parents have forsaken their God-given responsibility to teach their children in the home, leaving this great task of raising godly children mostly on the church. But the church in turn has forsaken its God-given duty to preach and teach the true gospel in both to both adults and children. It has forsaken sound doctrine for entertainment, and it has resulted in what a writer calls and says, the church has become a giant youth ministry. As I mentioned, as early as 1704, the Presbyterian minister Matthew Henry preached a long sermon. When I looked at this sermon, it was several pages long. And it was entitled, A Church in the House, A Sermon Concerning Family Religion. And I could imagine preaching a sermon as long as that. It could probably take 3 hours to preach that kind of sermon. His thesis was this, that the families of Christians should be little churches, or thus, that wherever we have a house, God should have a church in it. So the Christian home must be a little church where there is teaching of sound doctrine through worship of the true God and Christian discipleship. So our text today, as we read and we sang, Psalm 128, is called A Song of Ascents, sung by Jewish pilgrims as they went up their way to Jerusalem, to the temple in Jerusalem, to worship. It is also called a wisdom psalm, and it continues some of the themes of Psalm 127. So these two psalms are paired together. Our Psalm 127 ended with, Blessed is the man. And then Psalm 128 continues, Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. A man's blessedness in those days consisted of a productive field or farm and a happy home life with his wife and many children. We read this in Proverbs 10:4. At the end of the psalm, the blessedness is not merely that of a man in his home, in his godly home, but extends to the whole people of God. So from this psalm, we can learn 3 things about our homes as little churches. Article 29 of the Belgic Confession says that the 3 marks of the true church are the preaching of the pure gospel, the pure administration of the sacraments, and a church discipline. So in raising a godly household, our homes can imitate a true church, and so that our homes become true houses. So to become true homes, we can teach the true gospel, worship in spirit and in truth, and bring our households up in the fear and discipline of the Lord. So we will study these 3 things briefly. In Pasig and in Imus, we will go through this in the next several weeks. So our text this morning is a true church, our theme. A true church, a true house. First, teaching the ways of the Lord. The first mark is the pure preaching of the gospel in the church. Without the teaching and preaching of the pure gospel, the church cannot be sound, and it cannot endure to the end. It will be an easy target for false teachers, like the heretic cult in the Philippines called Iglesia Ni Cristo. Verse 1 of our text says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Here, in this verse, blessed is actually means, or better translated as happy. So in verse 4, blessed is actually another word, and it actually means blessed. And so what is the difference between happy and blessed? So happiness for a man who is happy, implies it is an internal feeling. While in verse 4, blessed is the man, implies that this blessedness comes from the outside. It is given to him by the Lord himself. So verse 1, we can read in verse 1, another verse in Psalm 112:1. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. And so fearing the Lord and greatly delighting in His commandments are always inseparable. For the faithful believers, God's law is not a burden, but a delight to know and to obey. And so this is echoed again in Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We all are familiar with that verse, coming also from the book of Proverbs. And so without the fear of the Lord, there is no walking in His ways. And how will our families learn to fear the Lord? By teaching them the true gospel of Christ, that He died on the cross to save us from our sinful ways, that He was raised from the grave for our justification. We are to teach them, our household, our children, that we can only walk in His ways by being reverent and humble before our Creator and Savior. Therefore, a little church in the home begins with teaching sound doctrine to the whole household, something that is very alien to many, many evangelicals today. So then a house where the Lord's ways are taught and obeyed are blessed. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. But how? How are we going to teach the pure gospel and sound doctrine to our families? And so we come to our next point, worshiping in the heavenly Mount Zion. So our text, verses 1 to 4, deal with the blessedness of the faithful individual and his family, his wife, his children, and the whole household. So in the last two verses, in 5 and 6, the psalmist shifts the blessedness to the whole congregation assembled in the temple in Mount Zion. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. The psalmist prays that the Lord who dwells in Mount Zion's temple bestow His blessing and prosperity upon Israel. And this is the same prayer that we read in Psalm 134. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. He prays for help and support from the sanctuary. He prays for the good of the house of the Lord. His prayer is not only for His covenant household, but for other households in the assembly of God's people. In fact, He prays for all Jerusalem, for the whole people of God. And so, in our homes, in the inner sanctuaries of His home, by Himself, the head of the household prays for himself, for his household, for His children, for all of God's people. But when they gather, the whole family gather around the table during meals, they study God's Word with delight in their hearts. His wife is described as a fruitful vine, not only in having many children, but in her good works, in the house, and in the community, just as the excellent wife is described in Proverbs 31. The children are described as olive shoots around the table, growing from infancy into maturity and zeal and the fear and understanding of the Lord. And so around the table, they are commanded, they are taught to teach their children the Word of God. In our times, or beginning in the early church, the children were taught catechism. Catechism is not a Roman Catholic word. It is a biblical word, and it means being taught or teaching. Catechism comes from the Greek word similar to our English word katekeo. It did not begin from the Catholic Church, as most Filipinos, when I say catechism, they think, because it's a Catholic country, they think that we are a Catholic Church. So around the table, we are to teach our children the Word of the Lord. And one of the things that we can use is the Heidelberg Catechism. When Israel was faithful, they were like fruitful vines and olive trees. In the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, Israel was described as fruitful vines and olive trees. And the church also is described as a vine or also an olive tree. Christians as well are fruitful branches sprouting out of Jesus, the true vine. If we are not connected to the true vine and fear Him, we cannot walk in His ways. We are also wild olive branches grafted into Christ, the true olive tree, so that we may produce fruits. And so together with our wives and children, or our husbands and children, and also the whole household, all of us who are vines and olive branches connected to Christ, worship together around the table at meals in the peaceful, blessed confines of our houses. So like a true church, we read, we listen to, and we study God's Word. We pray and sing together as we eat meals together as a little church in the home. And together, these little churches that are members of the church will extend to our Jerusalem, the heavenly Mount Zion, the church, the assembly of God's people every Lord's Day. So on this day, we hear the pure gospel with reverence and submission and joyfully feast together around the Lord's table. And together we pray for the peace and prosperity of not only these days, not only of Israel, but of the whole church in this place, in Pasig, in Imus, and in the whole world. A true house is like a true church, also when there is training and discipline, that you may fear the Lord your God, as Deuteronomy 6:2 says. Reverence, submission, obedience to God's commandments are consistently taught and practiced. And so we read in Deuteronomy 6:7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Paul echoes this discipline in the home through the teaching and submission to God's law, as we read in Ephesians 6. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Children are a great blessing on parents and families, but they are also a great responsibility given to parents, as the third mark of the true church is the right exercise of discipline when a member errs in doctrine or in practice. The church in the true house is also marked by a Christian discipline of the members of its household. The Hebrews preacher in Hebrews 12 says that this discipline in the home by our earthly fathers is like the discipline in the church by our Heavenly Father. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises everyone whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. And so here, the Greek word for discipline is paideia, or instruction, from which we get the English prefix called pedo, for example, pedo baptism, infant or child baptism, which means raising covenant children through teaching, training, correcting, rebuking. But as the church disciplines members to persuade them to repent of their sin and be restored, fathers are to discipline their children, not to cast them out of the house, but to welcome them back when they repent of their disobedience. In this way, Christians endure sufferings. They endure temptations and trials through discipline. So these then are the blessings of the man and his household who fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Many fathers and mothers work so hard for their children's financial future, but they neglect the spiritual nurture of their household. In the Philippines, there are many, many families who don't have mothers or fathers or both because they are working overseas. While they work overseas, their children are running around with their friends doing ungodly things. And they are growing up without the nurture and discipline of the Lord. And so there are many, many broken families and wayward children. But those who bring their households in the fear and ways of the Lord, it says, they eat the fruit of their labors of their hands. They see their children and grandchildren and even great-grandchildren grow up, mature Christians, men and women, around the table of their homes. They are described in Proverbs 17:6 as the crown of the ages, of the aged, not the ages. So the promise of the Lord is not only to the next generation, but to so many generations of the faithful. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. And if we don't do these things as father or mother or any head of household, then the covenant family ceases where we stop teaching our children. So dear congregation of Christ, there are several churches in the house mentioned in the New Testament. It says that the church in the house of such and such, as the house of Prisca and Aquila, they might be real assemblies of Christ that meet every Lord's Day, but they can also be families worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ in their homes, singing praises to God in their homes. Maybe asking their children, what does this mean? And they teach the children what these words in the Bible mean? Fathers, mothers, and all who are heads of households, you too are priests to God. Shepherds, feeding your flocks in your homes, you have responsibility to teach your households the fear and the ways of the Lord. You are to intercede for them, to pray for them, to lead them in prayer, to teach them how to pray, leading them in the worship of the Lord, in prayer, in praise, and thanksgiving. Just as Job, we read in Job 1:5, that he continually interceded for his covenant children, offering burnt offerings for their sins, even though he doesn't even know whether they are sinning or not. But just in case they are sinning, then he offered burnt offerings for them. He offered prayers for them, for God to forgive them of their sins. Abraham, Joshua, Cornelius, they did as well. These are some of our biblical fathers and mothers who taught discipline and obedience to their children. And so with such discharge of priestly duties, your house will be a blessed extension of our church during the whole week. In this whole week, between the gatherings on the Lord's days. During this whole week, your house can be also a little church. This blessedness arising from your faithfulness in your house will surely result in the peace of our own Jerusalem, our heavenly Mount Zion, our church whose head is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and whose members are faithful little churches headed by priestly mothers and fathers and heads of households. Let us pray. Our merciful God, who is pleased to condescend to speak to us through your word, grant us all grace that we may not be mere hearers of your word, but doers also. Give us the grace of your Holy Spirit, so that we may believe what has been promised to us. May we bring glory and honor to your name in all that we do, in our homes, and in our churches, and in our work or school, as you conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. All of this, gracious Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who with the Father and the Spirit together is worshipped and glorified, one God in three persons. Amen.